This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, coming forth again at this time, riding old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I'm just happy to be with you folks at this time. It's always good to be there, to know that there's someone listening. So I asked you, if you would, to send us a note or write us or call us. Once in a while, I give you folks a little synopsis of what we here at the Old Trailblazer broadcast believe in, what we preach and what we stand for. So let me do that at this time. Maybe you haven't heard this before. I believe the Old Trailblazer believe that the Bible is the inerrant, absolute, eternal, unbroken Word of God. Then I believe that there's only one living and true God. I believe that man was a direct creation of God. I believe that salvation of any sinner is wholly of grace, holy of the Lord, apart from any works. I believe that in order to be saved, a sinner must be regenerated or born again, which means he must be made a new creature in Christ. I believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties and inseparable graces. I believe that election is the eternal purpose of God. I believe in the eternal security of the believer. I believe that the law of God is eternal and unchangeable. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was virgin born and that he is the eternal Son of God. I believe in the imminent soon coming of our blessed Lord. I believe that Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer. I believe the Lord's Supper is the second of two ordinances that Christ left, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And then I believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. I believe that civil government is divine appointment. I believe that the local assembly, known as the church, set forth in the New Testament, is the only divine institution established by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I believe all these above are found in God's holy word. I believe it because it's found in there. Then I can sum up what the Bible teaches in these five great doctrines or teachings of God's word: the sovereignty of God, or God on the throne; total depravity of the natural man; salvation by grace and blood redemption in Christ; the person and work of the Holy Spirit; and the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd be glad to send this to you. If you'd write me, just say, "Pastor Trailblazer, send me that little pamphlet on things most surely believed by the Old Trailblazer." And I'll be glad to do that. Send it to you free and postpaid. We're looking at our study in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. And we've been looking there at the sevenfold glory of the Lord revealed. We looked there at the eyes as a flame of fire, the feet as a fine brass, his voice as the sound of many waters. And we were looking there in our last study, and we came down to where he had in his hand seven stars. So let's pick it up right there. As the glorified Son of Man stood there in the midst of the churches, the old Apostle John said, "I saw in his right hand seven stars." In the 20th verse, he says, "The seven stars are the angels, or the messengers of the seven churches. These angels are ministers of the churches." Do you see, my friend, the position of the pastor in relationship to Christ? He is in his right hand. Oh, what a joy, what a joyous thing to know that the old Trailblazer is in the right hand of God. And then that brings me to this thought. I tell folks here, often in my congregation, in my services, that there's not one sin registered against the old Trailblazer. That I believe that the Lord taught and teaches that once saved, always saved. And I know that makes folks gnash at the teeth. But do you know why I know that? Because the Bible says that my name is engraved in the palm of his hand. Now, do you think or do you believe by any stretch of the imagination that the Lord would erase your name out of the palm of his hand once it's put there? No, sir, my friend. No, sir. Then he holds his messengers in his right hand. They derive their power and office from him. According to God's word, the right hand signifies power, position, honor, and dignity. The Lord sits on the right hand of God the Father there in heaven, my friend. Oh, but listen, according to Psalm 16:8, we find, at his right hand I shall not be moved. His messenger is bold and courageous, according to Psalm 16:11. At God's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The servant of God draws all his satisfaction, joy, pleasure, and pastime from the God he serves. Now listen, would you? According to Psalm 17:7, the right hand of God brings salvation. According to Psalms 18:35, it is the right hand of God that holds the messenger up and gives him his strength in the midst of battle. I wish we could stop there, Pastor. Trailblazer, Pastor, Evangelist, man of God, stop there. Go there and read that 18th Psalm. In his right hand we are helped. According to Psalms 48, the messenger of God is clothed with righteousness by the right hand of God. According to Psalm 60, verse 5, he is saved and delivered continually from the enemy by the right hand of God. According to Psalms 118, 16, he is exalted by the right hand of God. His head is lifted above the enemy. And I just thank the Lord that at this time, the old trailblazer is helped by the right hand of God. Oh, I have times of heartache and times of tribulation and trials and attacks by Satan, and I grow weary. But did you know it's grace to know that I'm in the right hand of the Lord? I'm in his hands right now. I'm in the Lord's hands as I speak, my friend, day in and day out. I'm in the Lord's hands day in and day out. And I thank the Lord for it. It is also the hand of affection. In the Song of Solomon, the believer is seen held by the right arm of God. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. What love, what affection doth my God have for me as his child? But my friend, at the same time, this is the arm of judgment that God wields against his enemies as he casts them out of his presence. Doth his arm embrace thee and love thee and caress thee, or will it cast you out forever, my friend? I'd just like to ask you that question. Does the Lord's arm embrace you day in and day out? As John continues to describe the glorified Son of Man standing in the midst of the churches, he says, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. In Ephesians 6:17, we read, and the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, we find these words, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, which refer to the body. But this is not the sword meant here. The sword of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit sword, and he alone wields that sword in opening up the heart of sinners to let them see their lost condition, that they might flee to Christ for salvation. The sword spoken of here is the sword of the Son of Man, which is the sword of justice. It is a sharp sword, and he will smite the nations with it. It is a two-edged sword, first for the protection of his people, and second for the destruction of his enemies. Listen, sinner, the Son of Man is now uttering words of pardon and peace to every repentant sinner, but in the day of the Lord, he will stand as judge and wield the sword of justice against everyone who disobeys the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as John continues to look there at the glorified Son of Man, all other features of his being seem now to pale into insignificance, and his countenance stands forth as the sun shineth in his strength. This carries us back to the Mount of Transfiguration there in Matthew 17. And we stand there with Peter and James and John and look upon that face which did shine as the sun. Then it also carries us forward to the 21st chapter of Revelation, where we read that the New Jerusalem will have no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the Lamb is the light thereof. It also carries us back to Malachi 4:2, for the old prophet tells us that when the Lord Jesus comes back, he will be as the Sun of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wing. No wonder John fell at his feet as one dead. No wonder he collapsed. Then it was that the Son of Man laid his right hand upon John and said unto him, "Fear not, fear not." Have you ever heard those words, my friend? Have you ever heard the word of our blessed Lord crying, "Fear not"? John had often heard those words during the earthly ministry of the Lord. When the Lord came walking upon the waters of the Sea of Galilee there that stormy night, he approached him with these words, "Fear not, fear not." The night after his resurrection, when he stood with them in the upper room in his resurrected body, he said, "Fear not." Sinner, can't you feel that right hand of salvation resting upon your heart now? Can't you hear that voice saying to you, first and foremost, "Fear not. Fear not, sinner. I died for thee. Fear not, sinner. I am the first and the last. Fear not, sinner. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore. Fear not. I have the keys of death and hell. I have all authority, and all authority has been committed into my hands. You can trust me. Commit your soul to me. I love you. I died for you. I was buried. I rose again. And as I live, so shall you live." Then he would say to his child, "Fear not, my child. I am with thee." And I praise the Lord for his marvelous grace and mercy that's been extended to the sons of men, that a God of all grace would love a wretched sinner like me and like you. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth and has the keys of death and of hell. Now, my friend, that's a gracious thought to my heart. I don't know about yours. I don't know about your heart, but I know that's a gracious thought to my own heart. As we go through these verses, time after time, looking there. And in our next study, we'll go back there and look at the second chapter of Revelation. And we're going to be visiting the church of Ephesus. I wish you'd go there and read the second chapter of Revelation before we bring our next study in our next broadcast. And read that story there about the church of Ephesus and see what the Lord says to that church. The Apostle John was the pastor of the church there at Ephesus. And it seems like it's special, doesn't it? But he says much to the church at Ephesus. And we're going to look at all these churches day in and day out as we come and go. And I long to hear from you folks. I long to know if you're listening. And whether these messages mean anything to your heart or not, I believe they're interesting. I know they are to my own heart. As I read and study and bring these to you, I get much out of them. I get just as much as you do, maybe more. And because I have to look into God's word and see what he says and then bring it to you. And I attempt to do that with all the pathos of my soul, calling on you to look to the Lord day in and day out. Look to the Lord. Would you do that? Would you look to the Lord even at this time as the days come and go? I believe the Lord's coming soon. We'll talk about that maybe in our next study, how the Lord is coming soon. He says, the Apostle John says there in one chapter, he said, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly." I wish you'd remember the old trailblazer in your prayers. And then if you will, sit down and drop me a note. And then help me with the broadcast if you can. Remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. And goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.